join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Crazy Love by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
God does not say that everything they did was right. God just tells you, don't you clap back. God said, I will do the clapping for you. That's what God, I'm going to handle this. God says, I got this. Amen. So the issue is not about not about what's going to happen with them. The issue is God says, I don't want for you to walk in love of God. You don't retaliate. You don't seek revenge. Allow me to fight your battles. Look at Romans 12, 19 through 21. And I'm going to read the New Living Translation. It says, dear friends, never take revenge. Oh, Jesus. Come on. Everybody say, Lord, help me to do the word. And your word says, I'm supposed to never take revenge. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. Okay? Now I'm not sure if I could tell you all this, but one of my biggest questions in the scripture, you know, a lot of people say everything in the scripture is really clear. The Bible clearly says, well, if everything the Bible clearly said, you wouldn't need to pray, you wouldn't need to get interpretation, and how could you hear without a preacher? So there's a lot of stuff the Bible don't clearly say. Now, there's one question I have. I'm going to talk to y'all. Don't judge me for it. I'm very serious about this. There's a question I have, because with all this love that Jesus told us to have, he flipped some tables. Now, I'm just telling y'all the truth. It ain't no sense to act like it ain't there. It baffles me. Because I've been like, Lord, I want to flip some tables. I want to flip some tables. I want to flip some chairs. I want to flip some pews. Okay? But I can't do that. And so really, we're laughing about it, but I'm serious. I don't have an answer. I ain't prayed in tongues about it, though. Okay, but I always wonder, I said, now, Jesus, you went to the temple, they were doing stuff you didn't want them to do, and I presented some of my other preachers and bishop friends, they told me, well, it was righteous indignation. Whatever. Okay, I'd have been righteously indignant too. I just know for some kind of reason, I don't believe I'm going to get a pass by flipping tables. Well, maybe it depends on what people are doing on the table. But the scripture tells us, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. In other words, God says, I know you're angry. God said, but I get angry for you. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back. That's what God says. I will take the revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, he says, now leave that to me. Verse 20 says, instead, if your enemies are hungry, poison them. No, that is not what it says. what it says. If your enemies are hungry, feed them good food, not the leftovers, not what's been in the back of the refrigerator. You want to scrape some of the mold off and give it to them. Good stuff. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them to drink. Okay? Go ahead and give them a Mountain Dew, not Clorox, because it looked like Mountain Dew. Look at this. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their head. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. He said, when you do this, it'll make them think about their behavior. That's what that I told you my baby's teacher said, make them hot. He calls a fire in the head, make them hot. Make them hot. No, that's not talking about making them hot, make them angry. It's saying it'll make them think about their behavior. And I told y'all a good principle I learned about leadership years ago is that when you're dealing with people, you always have to leave them thinking about their behavior, not your behavior. Okay, I have terminated people, fired people, let people go, whatever you want to call it. And in most of those cases, I always gave them a nice severance or took care of something for them, paid their rent for them for the next month, whatever. Because even though what they did may have warranted that, I always want to leave them thinking about their behavior, not my behavior. So, and by the way, just because you do good things to people, people will still lie on you. Okay, they will say what they did. I mean, they would say what you did, but they'll never say what they did. Or they will never say how you even responded being kind to them despite what they did. Okay, so Jesus said here that Paul says, in doing this, you're going to heap burning coals of shame. You're going to make them think about their behavior. When you walk in love, you cause people to think about, I'm just acting like a real jerk. I'm acting like a real apple. That's what's supposed to, it's supposed to make them think about their behavior. Romans 12:21, the Amplified says, don't let yourself be overcome by evil, but overcome. Here we go. Master evil with good. Everybody say, Lord, help me to master evil. In other words, he's saying, don't let evil get the best of you. You get the best of evil. Master this thing. Master those emotions. Master that retaliatory spirit. Master that anger. Master that tongue. Master it. When you master something, then you dominate over it, and it doesn't dominate over you. So, and then the Bible says, the reason why we can do this, it says, because God is going to fight our battles for us. So this is how I fight my battles, by prayer, by praise, by worship, by praying, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, and it'll pull down that stronghold. So I have to allow God to fight my battle. If they need to get God, some of you older people don't know, that's how the young people talk today. If they need to get God, God will get them. Because y'all know some people need to get God. If they need to get God, you have to rest that God's going to take care of that. Amen. 2 Timothy 4:14. Now, Paul, this is how Paul dealt with some stuff. He mentioned this guy a couple of times. This guy, Alexander, he wasn't a nice guy. He wasn't an advocate of the gospel, wasn't a friend of preaching and teaching and of the apostolic ministry of Paul. Look what Paul says, 2 Timothy 4:14. He said, now this guy, Alexander, watch out for him. Alexander the coppersmith. I don't want you to get him mixed up with the ironsmith. Okay, I want to know exactly which one. The coppersmith. Okay, not the baker, not the butler. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. And then he added this, the Lord reward him according to his work. Come on, say, Lord, you reward them according to their works. No, you say, God, I'm just leaving that in God's hand. God knows exactly what he did. He knows exactly what he said. God knows what he stirred up. God knows the lies he's told. God knows how he's tried to hurt me and decrease me and cause things to not work out for me and lied on me and cheated and talked about and mistreated and buked and scorned and talked about me just to show us up born. You got to be in church for a while and know what that is. Okay? He said, but may God reward him according to his work. That verse from the New Living Translation says, Alexander the Coppersmith did me much harm. But the Lord will judge him for what he has done. Say that. Say, God's going to judge him. So God said, don't you take judgment in your own hands. Let me judge him. I see what they did. I know what they've done. I know what you don't even know. Don't know. Okay? Now, here's the other thing. I've often said this, and it bears repeating it at this point. Sometimes we get upset because we hear that somebody was talking about us. So somebody tells you after service day or today, about a month ago I was talking to someone, and they were talking about you. They were saying something, 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 something. And you get mad. You so mad. You were incensed. You want to get revenge. But here's the deal. For the last month, it has not affected your life. It hasn't caused you any lack of money. It hasn't caused you any lack of reputation. It didn't cause you into any mental anguish. You didn't even know that they were talking about you until they told you now about what somebody said 30, 60, 90 last year, and now you're upset. So my point is, if it didn't bother you then, don't let it bother you now. Stay in your present. That verse from the this sounds like the Message translation, 2 Timothy 4:14. I like this one. I like this one. 2 Timothy 4:14 from the Message translation says, God will give him what he's got coming. Y'all got to put that one up. I think that's a Message translation. God will give him what he's got coming. Don't smash the windows out the car. That's all I know. I just happened to be flipping through this one day. I said, you hear this song? I said, this is some ghetto stuff right here. Straight up ghetto stuff. Smash, well, come on. What's the rest of the word? Bust the windows out the car. What else? Oh, y'all know it. Y'all ain't listening to hymns of Zion all the time. No, you don't have to bust the windows out the car. Okay, you don't have to slice tires. Amen. I told y'all when I was a kid coming up, there was a man on our block, and it's the city. We don't have, you know, it's the city, and so you know cars parked on the streets, and then when kids out and kids we sit on cars, and this man he had gotten a new car. He would come. I mean, he wouldn't just say, you know, can y'all not get in my car? He would come out, get off my car. I'm tired of you. I mean, he was just nasty about it. He was just nasty about it. And so I didn't do it. I didn't know anything about it. I heard about it later. That's true. I didn't know anything about it. But they said the next day, we live pretty close to New Jersey Turnpike. He'd gone down the turnpike, and his car started smoking. Exhaust backed up everything into his car. They had took cucumbers and bananas and put it up his exhaust pipe. Somebody said, I never thought of that. That's a good one right there. That's some real city stuff right there. Yeah. You don't have to clog up somebody's exhaust tank. Amen. You don't have to siphon gas out their car. All the kind of stuff. God says God will give him what he's got coming. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 1:6. This is Minister Jamal Davis's favorite scripture. I taught on this scripture many years ago, and he has not let it go. If you ever come to prayer, you will hear him have you confessing this scripture. I don't know who did what to Minister Jamal, but he knows this scripture, and he will quote it. Say it with me. Seeing it is a righteous thing. Say it with me. It is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. That's 2 Thessalonians 1:6. When it says it's righteous, that means it's right. It's wrong for you to do it, But it's right when God does it. 2 Thessalonians 1:6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Okay? So the Message translation, that's what it is. The Message translation says, thank you. That's traditional King James. I want you to see that. It's a right, and you know, I wouldn't have to do this if all y'all brought paper Bibles to church, but I know y'all don't bring paper Bibles anymore. You can't highlight this stuff. So you at least need to write them down because some of the things you got to stand on. Amen. You got to remember the word more than you remember how I said it and whether all was backing me up and whether I was moaning when I said it. Amen. Because your flesh will tell you to retaliate. Your flesh will tell you to. You can see somebody being successful in their business. And your flesh said, well, these people, they must not know what they did to me. Okay? I'm going to use an example. Somebody came to me a couple weeks ago. I doubt they're here. Okay? But it came to me to tell me that somebody did business with didn't do business well. And they came to church to tell me. And this is one of your members. And they showed me a picture. I said, you realize? This is not a church issue. That's the first thing I said. I said, this ain't a church issue. But what the person was trying to do was mess up that person with me. I told Pastor Marcel home. I said, I'm going to call the person up and let him. Then I said, no, that's not. Handle your business. Okay? What they're really trying to do is mess up that person with me. That was their way of trying to retaliate. You know, some people come and say, well, I'm just going to have to take them to court. Handle your business. Okay? Now, the Bible says that's not how believers should best handle things. Okay? But sometimes people, you're just trying to tell on the person to me. You don't want mediation. You want to mess up their reputation. Oh, y'all don't like me now. That's your way of retaliating. You want to try to destroy someone's reputation. Can I tell you, there's more than murder is not always just done by choking somebody with these two thumbs. It's not necessarily done with a knife, and it's not necessarily done with a gun. Sometimes it's done with your tongue. You're trying to kill somebody's influence, kill somebody's reputation by talking about them, and watch it, and by telling me something that is unnecessary. And sometimes we do that to retaliate. So the Message translation said, Message translation says, when the Master Jesus appears out of heaven in a blaze of fire with his strong angels, the 2 Thessalonians 1:6, Message translation said, he'll even up the score by settling accounts. Jesus. He'll even up the score by settling accounts. Who's going to even the score? Jesus. That's what it says there. It says when Jesus appears out of heaven in a blaze of fire with his strong hand, he'll even up the score by settling accounts. So some of y'all said, I'm going to settle this. I'm just going to settle. I didn't start it, but I'm going to finish it. God said, no. Just let Jesus handle it. Okay? We used to sing a song years ago that said, let Jesus fix it for you. For he knows just what to do whenever you pray. Just let him have his way. No matter what the problem is, let Jesus fix it for you. What's your name? Say, let Jesus fix it. Because see, can I tell you this? When you try to fix stuff that you don't know how to fix, you're going to break it. And you don't have to try to fix something you don't know how to fix. See, that's why I ain't trying to fix no brakes. Because I need the car to stop. If I try to fix the brakes, it probably ain't going to stop. But no, certain things you just got to leave it to the master. Jesus is the master fixer. He knows how to fix stuff that if you try to fix, you're going to break it. Well, I wasn't trying to do all that. I was just trying to explain. No, you made a mess. You made even a bigger mess of things by trying to fix it. Now, we see this exemplified with David and Saul. So David succeeds in killing Goliath. That's 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, I believe, right? 1 Samuel, 17th chapter. He kills Goliath, you know, this little ruddy young boy, adolescent, teenager. Cuts his head off. Then the army, now they're able to go after everybody else because Goliath was the one they were scared of the most. And after he killed Goliath, then the army was able to then go defeat the Philistines. And so now the king who gave him the permission to go fight him, he's jealous of him. He's jealous of him because the women, I need to practice this because I need to come up with a song when I go to sing this part, say this part. But the women start singing a song. David has killed his, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed 10,000. Okay, give me a beat. Don't have a drummer. Can't get no beat. Don't have a drummer. Come on the bongos. Come on, come in the percussion. Give me a beat. Give me a beat. Now what? Come on, give me. Come on. David's killed his thousands. Come keep the beat.
David's killed his thousands. And. No,
Saul killed 10,000.
Saul killed his thousands. David
Saul killed thousands.
All right.
But David killed 10,000.
Gotcha.
You hey. Know.
Saul's killed his thousands.
Killed his thousands.
David killed 10,000.
David killed 10,000. Come on, sing it.
Saul's killed his thousands.
All the women walking through the streets.
But David killed 10,000.
Go, David. Go, David. Go, David.
Saul's killed 10,000.
Go, David. Go, David. Hey,
but David.
David. Can you imagine walking through the streets and you hearing this music and they singing about this little boy and elevating him and diminishing all your results? Saul is mad. He's furious. He got cold. He's hot. He got the coals of fire on his head. He is hot. Then on top of that, he disobeys God when God tells him to kill all the Amalekites and kill Agag. And he starts making excuses. And God starts telling him, through the prophet Samuel, the Lord has looked for someone else. You're replaced. Your days are numbered. Watch this. Your king in name only. You have no more power with God. You have no more anointing. The Spirit of the Lord has departed from you. You occupy a position with no power from heaven backing you. And so he sets out to kill David. David, the Bible says that Saul made David his enemy. The Bible does not say David made Saul his enemy. That's really important. The Bible says Saul made David his enemy. Can I tell you, just because someone makes you their enemy doesn't mean you have to make them your enemy. So David said, listen, it's going to be on him. It's not, I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to do. So David now, he has men who are, they are trying to protect David. And he's running and he's hiding from the king who commands the royal army, if you allow me to say. The national army, and they're going after David, and David is hiding. And so now we come down, his men are hiding in a cave, and Saul and his men come into the cave. David and his men are already in the cave. Saul doesn't know that David and his men are in the cave. So we pick it up here in 1 Samuel 24, starting at verse 4. And the men of David said, behold, the day which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that thou mayest do to him as it seemed good to you. Thou shalt do unto him as it seemed good unto thee. David arose and cut the skirt of Saul's robe privily or privately. So Saul and his men come in and they're sleeping. And David and his men, and David see this as, this is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be, this is our day to take vengeance. This is our day to kill our enemy. Remember, Saul made David his enemy. David never made Saul his enemy. David is merely on the defense. He's not being on the offense. He's just on the defense. And so David's men said, listen, this is it. He's asleep. We can just go kill him now. And so David, he secretly goes. He could have killed him, could have beheaded him. He could have drove a stake through him. He could have cut his head off. He could have drove a spear through him. And instead, he slips up and he cuts a corner of his robe off of him, which is what happens here in verse 24. Verse 5, and it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. See, when you really have the love of God in you, the love of God will let you know. Now, you know that wasn't right. I know what they did, but you know that was wrong. You should not have said that. You should not have responded that way. So we see David's heart is right before God. Can I tell you, long before your actions get right, your heart gets right. Come on, if you really get saved, your heart gets right. Yeah, come on. Your fingers ain't got right yet because they still holding that joint. But your heart gets right. If the heart gets right, eventually the fingers will get right. Come on. Everything got to start on the inside. It starts on the inside, then it saturates every area of your life.
God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. He loves us perfectly and unashamedly. Bishop Herbert Billy encourages you to believe God's unexplainable, crazy love that He has for you. Order this powerful series today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order Believe the Love.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.